Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to, we're already here, got a host here, I got all this stuff going on. Welcome to Shooting the Shiznit. This is episode number 3 of season 3, and I've got a guest waiting on the line here, going to bring him on just in 1 second. Just wanting everyone to know, if you're listening to this and you're not part of the Cool Kids group on Facebook, look up Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk. It's a super secret group. If you'll do the search and then ask to join, we will let everyone in. We're trying to get 500 people in there by the end of the year. And part of the subscription drive, or the drive to get people in, is doing the Shooting the Shiznit again. Today's guest, this episode's guest, is Gene Jackson, and I think I already got him on the line. So hold on just a second. Hey, Gene?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Tremble, your long-lost friend.
I know, right? How nostalgic is this? Me and you together on Blog Talk Radio. It's been a long time, right?
Kind of weird. And I want everyone to know before we get started that me and Gene spent days preparing for this show. So, I mean, absolutely days. About what we were going to talk about and everything. The cool thing about this is all 3 episodes I've done exactly like I just did you. I just said, hey, want to be on the Shooting the Shiznit? Let's get on here and let's just talk about some things. Me and you got crossed paths a couple of times in our wrestling, quotation marks around that, careers there. Can you remember the first time that we first met?
Yeah, it would have been in Gibson, Tennessee, I do believe.
It was Gibson or Dresden, working for Killer and a guy named Mike Anthony. And, God, those, I would just hate to watch those shows now.
I really would, too. Thank God. I don't think the ability to record was available in either one of those places at that time, even though this was the late 90s. In Gibson, Tennessee, and even Dresden, it was still like the 60s. So, yeah, I don't think there's any of that floating around that I'm aware of anyway.
I used to have some, but I actually bought this really expensive camera and broke it either in Gibson or Dresden, and my first wife had a hell of a fit. We never bought another one. And the only thing I remember having is me running around the ring for miles long, who was chasing me around, probably got just trying to keep away from him, never knowing what he was going to do. But you were tagging with the Neil Taylor, right?
I was. Neil the Real Deal Taylor. We were Southern Destruction, and we hated the South, and we were feuding with Southern Pride, and we tried to light their rebel flag on fire with Michael Anthony wrapped up in it, and the people took exception to that.
Man, what an... You know, I don't even remember that angle. I actually had an angle that I was going to use with the Confederate flag kind of thing, and Mike would never approve of it and was going to use it with CCW after. I was going to take an actual black tag team and have them tag with Southern Pride. And at the end of the match, I was going to have the black tag team turn on Southern Pride and hang them. So, but for some reason, no one wanted to do that. So,
you're ahead of your time, Brian, or behind it. Well, I'm not sure which way. Which way you want to look at that? But thank
yeah,
God
I might
it didn't
be
happen.
Behind there. I should have sent that to Cornette at the time. He could have done that with the gangsters there. And
Robert Fuller would have booked it. Brickhouse would have been right there to do it too.
When you said Robert Fuller, all I can think of is him with Booker T and them coming out with Chains. Now that just, I'm not sure, you know, I know we've probably talked about this before, but it's one of those things where you got a bunch of guys sitting around with an idea, you know, and one guy says blah, 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 and there's not anyone there that stands up and says, that's got to be the stupidest shit I've ever heard. And then they just go ahead and do it and go, wow, we shouldn't have did that. So,
yeah, well, you know, that's how both the best and worst ideas have come to fruition, is somebody didn't stand up and shoot it down when maybe they should have. And sometimes it works out, and use time, you know, most of the time it ends up on that WrestleCrap website. So.
So have you kept yourself off the there's a garbage page and a wrestle crap, and your whole career you've never appeared on either one of those?
Oh no, Memphis Monroe ended up on that trash bag wrestler shit 2 or 3 times.
Oh, awesome! Awesome! Hey.
Well, and you know what aggravated me was for years. Throughout my various names, I wrestled in blue jeans and a flannel shirt, and God knows I deserved to be on there. And finally, after being in the business for 15 years, I actually got tights and actually was wrestling in actual gear. But I ended up in the ring with Freezer Thompson, who was wrestling in a t-shirt and sweatpants, and I ended up on that website like 3 or 4 different times, all from that same match. So, what can you do?
Oh, that's sad, yeah. It took. Well, you know, I didn't think about that, but you did. You had the mask the whole 9 yards there with the last gimmick, so that was and like you said, well, you know, when you're wrestling in front of a crowd in Gibson, Tennessee, and places like that, you kind of not worry about what was going on. Now, you were also involved with IWF out of Mississippi, right?
I was.
What did you do there? I know we had to be there together, but just to let you know, my memory sucks. It just, I can't even tell you what year that was or what.
The reason you don't remember me there so well is me and Neil tagged and ended up in IWF when IWF was on the Comcast cable, but. You know, the local shit, you know, the Comcast cable where you went and paid $20 to put the show on and 8 people watched it or whatever.
Right.
And by the time they hit the regional TV that everybody's so proud of, I had gotten married to my first wife and ended up over here in Alabama. And I think I appeared on 1 episode, maybe 2. So I really wasn't around for the heyday of Coach BT and Sexy Steve and Bo Jangles and that whole thing. I've seen it on TV, but I wasn't around for it. And so when IWF Part 2 came around, how familiar you are with any of that, but, you know, IWF ended up back on TV a couple of years ago or a year ago, whatever it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came – well, not many people did apparently, but – it was on at 2 a.m. on WCBI, which WCBI is a huge station. But it was on at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it didn't fare so well. It lasted about 12 or 13 episodes. But, you know, we had fast-forwarded in time. We went from the year 2000 to the year 2014, and we were still, you know, seeing the adventures of Neil Taylor and Mr. Sensational, and Memphis Monroe appeared and had suddenly found a brother, and they were the Monroe brothers, and Hollywood Jimmy was still around, and Kimball, and so some of the old favorites were there, but not everybody. And I think just because of the time slot and the fact that Mississippi, North Mississippi in particular, just overrun with wrestling, or especially was at the time, as I pointed out, and me and Leslie Jones will debate till the end of time, television wrestling, but you know, I told they couldn't figure out why they weren't drawing. And I said, well, if somebody can sit home and see everything you do for free on TV, why are they going to come out and buy a ticket? You know, TV is supposed to build to coming and seeing a payoff and buying a ticket, but everything IWF does is shown on television. So why would you come buy a ticket? And we had that debate over and over and over, and it went away again. And I hate it because Leslie, as you know, sank a lot of money in the IWF in both incarnations. But
Leslie
was, you know.
I wasn't a fan of the guy on the screen. I was not a big fan of his character. But as behind the scenes, he was who he was, and he was always straightforward to me. Never lied to me that I know of. And then when I was actually running my own shows, and then when they asked me to come up to do those shows, I just pretty much walked through the door and said, you know, tell me what to do kind of thing, where I was running my own stuff, and most of the stuff I did in Mid-South and other places, I would write and give it to the promoter and say, hey, this is what we're going to do for the next 8 weeks. you know, pay us what you think, because my guys were just getting experience. And but that was one of the few times I only did it, like, which people didn't know that, but probably about two times I ever just went into a place and said, okay, tell me what you want me to do. And I worked a stint at WOWF or something like that in Dyesburg. I worked about 8 weeks there, where someone gave me a storyline and I ran with it, and then walked in with Neil Taylor and Stud there, and both of those guys said, look, here's what we want you to do. Now, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. You know, they were, like, real apprehensive, like they didn't think I would do it. But, man, I had such a great time. It was so goofy. and yeah, it was. I mean, you know how goofy it was. And the guy that I was with was just pretty much bad in the ring. But, man, I had a good time. One of these days we'll have to see if we can try to get some of that stuff up on YouTube. It was just a lot of fun. And I think I did two sets of tapings with them. And one thing I did know that, which was really which noted to them when I was there, I don't know if Neil was ever over like that any time in his career. But Neil Taylor was a big deal in that little section, especially the people for that crowd, for that television. Probably had a bigger – him and I believe it was Psycho. Those two guys got the biggest pops of the night. And just, you know, I mean loud, not one of these, you know, yay kind of things. I mean, as soon as their music hit, boom. And I've probably seen two or three of Neil's – best matches he ever had in that area when he's mixed with the right person. But that was, I mean, and you would look from the outside, you would look and say, why are they pushing this guy, that guy, until you sat down in a crowd and would listen to the pop that those guys would get. But that was a fun experience. I had a great time with that. But I can see where it wouldn't translate now, kind of thing. In a sense, right. And like you said, there's so much on television, on the internet now, that I don't even have time to watch everything. I'm at the point to where I'm just like, well, what am I going to follow and what am I going to really watch? You know, what are we going to do? When we could get, I used to have to wait, you know, 4 weeks to get a tape from Japan. and then, you know, another week for the guy that got it from Japan to send it to me. And then got a guy in Chicago one time that was getting Japanese wrestling every 2 weeks, brand new every 2 weeks, and it was shipping it to me. So you're still looking at a 3 week that I was excited, and now I can watch it as it happens at 2 o'clock in the morning if I want to, or I can just stay up, you know, watch it the next morning, which is just crazy. But yeah, that style, I just don't, I don't think, which is probably going to be, could be a great topic for a show, in the sense of what happened to Memphis wrestling and them not building any stars. I mean, and that kind of wrestling, you know, I mean, I followed the ratings. That last incarnation of Memphis wrestling was god awful. I mean, it was horrible. It was the Lawler versus Jimmy Blaylock with a monster and so forth. So that was just really bad. But nothing that anyone wanted to see anymore. I mean, after you see, and some of these old guys don't get it, and they get pissed off when I say this, but people will come out the first time to see all the old stars, but after the first time, you don't hardly see anyone coming out. The second time, like, the crowd decreases by about, you know, half or more than half, because they already seen the old guy that they came out to see.
Yeah, and he was old. Absolutely. You know, me and Neil were talking about that on a podcast the other night about, you know, booking shows in that area. And, you know, people kind of get offended when I say that kind of thing. But I'm like, you know, I don't understand. Like, people in Mississippi don't book anybody but Jerry Lawler and Buff Bagwell and Dundee, and that's it. And, like, I don't know how many times you expect people to come out and see him. I'm like, I love Jerry Lawler to death, one of my favorite wrestlers in the world. But once you've seen, it's kind of like Valiant. Like, once you've seen his house show match, you've seen it. Now, how many times are you going to buy a ticket to come see it? And that's everybody's go-to. And, you know, Neil booked a big show, the arena there in Corinth, that, you know, the arena wanted booked. And, you know, he tried to go another direction. And he brought in Ron Simmons and Eugene and James Storm. And people just didn't turn out. So, you know, and everybody asked, why didn't he bring Lawler? Why didn't he bring Lawler? Well, because Lawler's been on every damn show anybody's had in the last 10 years, but I don't know. You know, if you want to draw, if you want to draw, you got to book Lawler over there.
Kevin Lawler was booking shows there and still does occasionally, but he was booking shows in Memphis, and his he had a show that was just jam packed. It was Lawler, Dundee, Lance Russell, Dave Brown, you name it, all the stars from Memphis was at the show. But you know what? The biggest show for him, gate wise, number of people in the building, was he had a show which he did have Lawler on it, but he had Jerry against Scott Steiner. Steiner was somebody that no one had seen. He was a big star, and brought him in and Drew. And I never understood why we did. You know, he didn't try not to bring Scott back, but try to pick people like that. They cost a little bit more, but then boom, you know, you start to grow. And I don't really know. The shows that I see drawing now, the independent wise, is all from people. And I don't, I mean, you're talking 600 people, 500 people, numbers like that. And it's all these, almost like a supercard of the indie stars right now. And that seems to be what draws.
Yeah. Well, people seem to be more aware of indie wrestlers now than they've ever been. People who 2 or 3 years ago that I know that I'm friends with that are either in the business or even people are just fans, even like my little brother, for instance, are making a point to follow some of these indies to kind of know who some of these guys are when they trickle into WWE. You know, they're like, well, who's this Kevin Owens guy? And I'm like, well, I've been a Kevin Steen fan for 5 years now. You know, I've been following that guy. And so now they're going, well, let's see who's going to be next to come in and follow the footsteps of Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn and all these guys. And I think it's made, you know, indies a lot more popular because everybody likes to be ahead of the curve and know who these guys are when they get there. So it's definitely a different world wrestling wise on the indies and in WWE and TNA than it was when I was working with you on the website a few years ago, for sure.
You know, it is. I agree 100%. This would have might have been, if I was still doing Riot, it might have went into a different direction. Because one of the main reasons I quit Riot was because, you know, my main thing was my week started with Memphis Wrestling on Saturdays. I type up my little thing, and then from that point on, we maybe went to a show on a weekend. But then that was the main focus. I mean, that's the reason I started, was the Memphis TV show. And then when it completely died, we didn't have that start, you know, that thing that we were going to start with every week. And then I kind of had to start, building my own thing. I mean, I started, everyone gave me hell about this, but you're talking about like Ken Wayne's promotion and putting that over big time or putting this over big time, because I was having to do that to keep people coming to the show. And that's when I just got totally bored of it, because, as you know, and you just mentioned something, you know, it's been almost 5 years since we did Riot. The guys that you mentioned that are still wrestling the indies in Mississippi are pretty much the same guys that were doing it when I first started. Which is not really a good thing. It really isn't. And it's just, and that hurts. And it does. It's the same way around here too. When I live in St. Louis now, but when it comes to the Memphis promotion, if I went right now and went around to all the promotions, say Osceola, there would be some new stars, but the main ones would be the same old guys that we were covering.
Yeah.
And I think
that's kind of what I told them, you know, when Leslie brought back IWF and he was telling me his theory on it, and, you know, and he was like, you know, we'll have some new people, but we'll have a lot of the same guys. And I'm like, don't you think people are going to kind of look at that as sad as, you know, when they turn it on and these same guys that were in 2000 wrestling at the Salvation Army are still wrestling at the Salvation Army, just a little fatter and older. And I got a lot of heat with them because I shit on a couple of the shows pretty hard. But, but in the end, I think they kind of agreed with me and seeing what I was talking about. But it is, and it, I don't know, I think a lot of these guys don't really have a self-awareness about that, you know, as far as, you know.
Well,
like,
you know,
you guys are in the same place
yeah.
as wrestling the same people that you were 10 years ago. 10 years
me
ago, not even
had,
just five.
I think me and you are two of the only guys, and we've had this discussion before either on a message board or we talked about this once on Shooting the Shiznit, that me and you could watch our own matches and say, God, I suck. Or, God, why am I doing
yeah.
that? And we might have been the only two guys alive that could actually do that, where everyone else would watch their matches and go, watch their own matches and go, God, we're awesome, man. We look good, you know, all that. So, and I think that's
absolutely.
Part of it, you know. And, yeah. Okay, look, I want you do the cons, the conventions there about, and I see all the pictures that you do, and you've been, what, to probably one for the last 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, every year for the last probably 4 or so, I've been to 2 or 3 of Greg Price's. I've been to a couple of different WrestleCades and then some random ones here and there.
Good deal. Now, that's we got about 8 minutes, so I'm going to ask you about a few of the people that I see you with pictures with, and we've talked about. So I always message people when I see someone that, and see, you know, how good of a person, or were they nice, or they're shitty, or whatever. So I just came up with this idea on the fly here. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go over some of these guys you've met, because you got a ton of them on your Facebook there. But before we start out, I want to know, now, and don't hold back, because you know there's going to be thousands and thousands of people listening to this. Yeah, right. but who was the number one asshole that you got a picture with?
You know, this is going to surprise a lot of people, but the biggest asshole, the guy who was the biggest asshole, who Rosie went from being one of their biggest fans to this day still not giving a shit about him, to AJ Styles.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is
completely indifferent. We went to his first ROH show after he left TNA, and he was in one line, Piper was in the other. We went through his line, and he looked like he would rather be anywhere else. Like, you can look at the picture and kind of see it, but he'd rather be anywhere else on earth but there. He barely said 2 words to us. He stood there for the picture. He signed a picture, and that was it. No thanks, no nothing. We hop in the other line, and Roddy Piper, who's done everything on earth, was the nicest guy we've ever met. He acted like he was genuinely as excited to meet the fans as they were to meet him. And it was like, I don't know, we left out of like, wow, you know, like you know, that's, I don't know, just the contrast there between the two was pretty
right,
astounding.
Right. That is, I mean, it's really, I'm not making, I'm sitting here looking at the AJ picture, and well, I hate that for Rosie, but I'm just going to pretend I didn't hear that, because I'm the biggest I'm biggest AJ Mark there is. Actually, the funny thing was I always never was an AJ Mark until he left and went to until he left TNA and then started watching, you know, his New Japan stuff and everything. I hate that for her, because I know people, like, you know, I've met that just was kind of shitty too. So, but, you know, knowing that – the thing is that you can be shitty, but that just acting like you don't want to be there and not saying anything to anyone is kind of weird. So I listened
yeah.
to a podcast of Cody Rose. I'm not making excuses for AJ, but Cody was said that he hated doing it. Not that he hated the fans. It's just that he didn't like being out in front at the gimmicks table and stuff. He said it just made him feel
yeah.
totally strange. So
yeah, I get
but damn
that.
It. Ain't no telling how much AJ was making for that show, because, you know, they made a mistake on the Observer one time and showed the cost that he was charging. He was making like $10,000 a week with all his dates on Independent.
Jeez.
Over $10,000 a week. Yeah, it was like $2,500 for one shot, you know, $44 for another. It was crazy. I was just like, gosh. Okay, here, we said Piper was good. How about we got the Hurricane?
Yeah, he was cool. He was cool. And what was weird is we met him down in the room, you know, the main room there. And then when we went upstairs, because y'all stayed in the same hotel, him and his wife were right across the hall from us. And so we come out of our room, and boom, we had just met him down there. And now he's out of his gimmick and getting ready to go to this Hall of Fame dinner. And we rode the elevator together. And both of them were just super cool, really nice, down to earth people.
Good deal. I was around him a little bit at a show, not really on the show, but was the backstage. He was super nice to everybody back there. Nigel McGuinness.
He was cool. He was cool. It was like a long line. Everybody was kind of rushed through, but he was nice the brief moment we spoke with him.
Let me see. I'm trying to see a bunch of other. You know, how about Shane Douglas? Was he a good guy?
Yeah. Shane Douglas was super nice and sit and talked with us and was asking us questions about where we were from and shows we had been to in that area. Because, you know, he was like, yeah, you know, ECW came to Alabama and talked about that a little bit. And as did Sandman when he asked where we were from. He's like, yeah, we did that fucking show in Birmingham. Cool, you know. Him and Dreamer were really cool to meet. I got to throw this in case you don't ask me because I know we're crunched on time, but I've got to mention this because I got to put this out into the world.
Okay.
I don't know. I have never read on a message board. I have never heard anywhere or read anywhere where any single solitary soul has ever had a good experience meeting Vader. And I was really tense about this because I'm a huge Vader mark my whole life. And I'm like, man,
right.
I hope we don't have a bad experience with him. That's going to suck. But at Greg Price's Fan Fest, he was one of the first ones where he brought the actual big Vader, helmet.
Picture. Yeah, I told you I was so jealous of that picture. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were the first ones in line. He was having to get it all together because that thing's like plastic and the little shoulder pads are like hung on with strings and shit. Like you would be amazed to see the inside. Almost kind of disappointed, but he's tying it all together. He's like, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm sorry it's taking so long. And I guess most people were just going to stand behind it. But he's like, could you do me a favor? I'm like, sure. He's like, would you mind putting this on? I'm like, fuck yeah. So he puts it on me. And he was so nice to us. He was one of the coolest guys we met that weekend. And then every other experience I read from people, oh, Vader's such a prick. Oh, my God. And, you know, in turn, I read about everybody's wonderful experiences with AJ Styles. So, I get that it's you catch people at good times and bad times. But I'm so glad that I have a happy memory of my meeting with Vader because I was
awesome.
Totally
yeah,
prepared
yeah.
for him to be a prick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he got he worked a show for somebody in this area, and they were really disappointed the way he acted backstage and everything. You got a picture with Raven, and it doesn't even look like Raven. It looks like God. I don't know. It looks like a fucking 100-year-old man.
Looks like the ghost of Raven.
What the hell happened?
I don't know, man. He showed up looking like that. And, he was another one of those where I told Rose, I'm like, look, you know, we're Raven fans, but he's going to be a son of a bitch. I can already tell you. I've heard the stories. And he was cool enough. But, like, you can tell he wasn't enthused to be there talking to anybody. You know, he was like, we walk up, and he's like, get on this side. I got a bad shoulder, and I'm going to put my arm around your chick, not you. And I'm like, cool. So I step around to that side. He puts his arm around Rosie, and we snap the picture. It wasn't bad, but, you know, you can see it in the picture. Another one of those where it's just like, oh, God, is this ever going to end? And we were, like, third
right.
in line, so I can imagine what the people who were, like, 100th were getting from him.
That's crazy. I don't want to interrupt you, but we got 1 minute. I want to tell you something. I'm jealous of you and Rosie all the time about going to all the cons. And this just a little personal note. Me and you both found, when it came to our second marriage, actually found our soulmates probably because it does me a lot of good to see pictures of you and Rosie and, together there with wrestlers because I know she's enjoying herself as much as you are. So, and that's something that me and you didn't do too good on our first marriages. So,
ahead.
We got less than 1 minute. I want you to plug what you got coming up. You got a cool thing coming up for your podcast, and we didn't even talk about your podcast, which is okay, but you got 30 seconds to tell about your podcast and who's going to be a guest.
LocalsToLegends.com, that's the website. Me and Neil Taylor host a wrestling podcast every Sunday night, 10 p.m. Central Time. This Sunday night, we're going to have Conrad Thompson, the king of the podcast. That man is all over the place right now with podcasts. He's going to be our guest. We're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to find out how he weaseled his way into the wrestling podcast business.
All right. We got 8 seconds. Gene, as usual, it was a pleasure talking to you, and I know it was a pleasure you talking to me. We'll get together some other time.
Anytime, brother, anytime.
All right. Hey, guys, join us in Cool Kids And join us next week. I've got, well, I'm not going to tell you who I got as a guest, but I got two great guests coming up for the next 2 weeks. And you guys have a great week. And thank you for listening to Shooting on the Shiznit.